Here we are for the first Sunday of Advent, which I think is the best time of the year. We spend the next 4 weeks allowing our hearts to be open, to be prepared, to invite Christ to come and to dwell in us and to make his home in our world again and again and again. Especially this year, we need to remember the promises that Advent brings, the promises of hope and peace and joy and love, those things that through Christ cannot be changed by a pandemic, by a stock market, by family drama, by anything. Christ comes to bring us these gifts in this season. We lean into them and we celebrate them together. As we prepare to worship Christ this morning, hear these words from Isaiah 9. For a child has been born for us, a son given to us. Authority rests upon his shoulders, and he is named Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His authority shall grow continually, and there shall be endless peace for the throne of David and his kingdom. He will establish and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time onward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Would you pray with me? Father God, this morning we remember the words of Isaiah, spoken so many years before Christ would come. Words of hope, words of promise, that we serve a God who is always up to something, who is always stirring up life and salvation in our midst. And so God, this morning, right in the thick of this hard season, we look to you for hope. We remember the gift of Christ. And we ask, God, that right here and right now, you would begin to open our hearts to receive him. We love you, O God. Thank you for this season. Thank you for this gift of worship. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. If you'll turn in your Bibles to Luke chapter 1. Each Sunday of Advent, we are going to spend time with somebody who was there at the coming of Christ. This morning, we're going to look at the competing stories of King Herod and Zechariah. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 through 17. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron. Her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children, because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people was praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified. Fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord their God. When the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before them to turn the hearts of parents to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Would you pray with me? And now, Father God, would you make our hearts ready to prepare for your coming again to us? Lord, we want to create space in our lives for your Spirit to fill us with all that is good and all that is true. And so here we are, O God, in your presence, turning to your word, the words of life that you have given us. Would you move freely, helping us hear whatever it is you want us to hear, so you can help us be who it is you want us to be, so you might help us do whatever it is you want us to do. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. If a UFO was to come to your doorstep this afternoon and ask you, so what is going on in your world today? How would you answer that question? What is going on around here? Would you talk about a global pandemic, a health crisis? Is that the biggest thing going on? Would you begin to name some of the people in power, where they are and how they're leading? Would you talk about the economy, who has all the money and what they're doing with it? What the stock market numbers were this week? Would you talk about the largest militaries around? What is going on in the world? There's always the stories that make the headlines. But is that all that's ever going on? Because there's also these totally other, deeper, truer, better stories going on. There's always that story of what's happening just beneath the surface, just off the grid perhaps. It's the story of how God is moving and what God is up to. Could you tell that unexpected guest at your doorstep about that story if he were to show up today? This Christmas, in these unusual times, I think our hearts are asked to consider, perhaps more than ever before, what story we're actually paying attention to. What story are we giving our lives to? When the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah and mentions to him the birth of John, Herod the Great has been the Roman-appointed king of Judea for 40 years already. If that UFO had asked someone then, so what's going on in your world? Herod's name would have topped the list of their conversation. He was their news story. Folks would gather around the table each night for 40 years. So you hear what King Herod was up to today? And in his 40 years as leader, he did a lot of things. Herod kept the order. He developed massive building programs. All throughout Judea, he improved roads. He built aqueducts. He even put forth renovations on the temple. Got him in kind of good with the Jews. And of course, to pay for all these renovations, the people were taxed severely. Now, many of them about starved to death under his reign. But that's okay, because Herod had all their money. So when they got hungry, he would just give them some bread and win them over again. You see, Herod's main job during his reign was to help the people of Judea learn how to cope with the fact that they were being controlled by an occupying army. It wasn't what they would have wanted or chosen, and the Roman people knew that. And so Herod was there put in place specifically to make the Jewish people comfortable enough with what was, so they wouldn't push against it. And though things were pretty secure under Herod, Herod the man was incredibly insecure. That's why he goes on that rampage. Remember when the wise men come to him and say, where's that new baby king? What baby king? And then to respond, he goes and kills all the little babies. Remember that? That would be called insecurity. Already, he had this hunch that there was this little one in diapers who might have more power than he would ever have. Herod, he was so paranoid of losing power that he would kill off anyone who even might betray him one day. He killed his own mother and his wife and three of his four sons. And get this, when Herod heard that his death was near, that he was ill, he had some of the elite Jewish men arrested and held until the day of his death, and they were ordered to be executed on that day because Herod wanted to be sure there was weeping and mourning in Jerusalem when he died. this was King Herod. And the people, they loved what he could do for them. They liked their nice roads, their sidewalks. They liked the building program. They liked the temple being made nice again. They liked their protection. They liked the bread. But they hated what it cost them to follow him. The severe taxes, the fear of the government they had to live with, the hatred of their neighbors, the surrender of their souls for just a little security from the king. They hated it. But they couldn't possibly believe there might be another better story out there. So they got comfortable with what they absolutely despised. 40 years into Herod's reign, in a quiet room in the temple, in the shadow of the palace, Zechariah is praying alone. The angel Gabriel comes to him, says, "Zechariah, God's up to something. You're going to be a dad, and your boy John, he's going to prepare the way for the Messiah, the one coming to save the world." Totally away from the spotlight, another story was coming to be. A deeper, truer story, better than the Herod story any day. A story that totally was missed right there, even though it was happening right in front of so many people. Only this one guy knew about it. Whether or not we see it or perceive it, there's always a different story at play. A better story. The God story. And from that day on, every person to walk this earth would be asked to choose which story they're going to pay attention to, which one they're going to give their lives to. The Herod story that gets all the press and that leaves hearts totally empty, or the God story that takes a little more faith, but that brings everything to life. Which story are you paying attention to this Christmas? You've got to choose your story. And there's always more than just one story. The Herod stories, they tell us to get comfortable with all the things that hold us down. Get comfortable with all the things that keep us from being fully who God has called and created us to be. To just settle and say, you know, this is probably as good as it's going to get. The Herod stories, they tell us to just learn how to cope with what is. Herod's job, it was to get the Jews to be okay enough with living under Roman oppression so they would just sit back and just let it be. Be okay enough with what was so that they might forget about that day that God called them and told them that they were his chosen free people. Hey, you guys, you've got your nice roads and you've got your fresh bread. Don't worry about the injustice. Ignore the mess. Be comfortable with what is. Ignore what's keeping you from what could be. And here, 2,000 years later, we still have this temptation to give our lives to these same Herod stories. These same ones that want to keep us comfortable with the very things that are keeping us from living into God's greatest dreams for us. We hate our busy schedules. We hate them. We know that they keep us from connecting deeply with the living God and the people we love the most, but we're comfortable with the busyness. And it gets down to it, we really have no intention of changing them. Decided that the rat race is good enough, as good as it's going to get. And the Herod story wins. We hate the addictions that numb us. that keep us from fully showing up to our work and to our families and to our callings in this world, but we're scared to death to live without them. We've learned how to cope with them. We believe that this half-awake life is as good as it's going to get. The Herod stories keep us dependent on a numbing agent. We carry the hurt from past relationships that have gone bad. And we try to forgive, but it just doesn't take. And so instead, we rehearse again and again what they did to us and how wrong it was. And our hearts know that this resentment building up in us is keeping us from loving again. But we've kind of grown comfortable with the hurt. We hate it, but we're comfortable with it. Giving our lives to the Herod stories, not loving, just coping. Sometimes the Herod story comes out in the things that take our dignity in exchange for our survival. A job that demands you do unethical things, but you gotta put bread on the table. A spouse that supports you financially, but tears you apart emotionally. And so we just keep checking in. We just keep sticking with it because Herod says, learn to cope. This is as good as it gets. Don't expect to be fully alive this side of heaven. Be grateful for your nice new roads. Ignore the things that are hurting your soul. Just deal with it. That's the Herod story. And the Herod story, it gets all of us in some way, doesn't it? I mean, I don't know any of us, myself included, who feel like we're totally, fully, 100% into who God dreams for us to be. Don't we all have some ways that we've just kind of grown a little bit comfortable with the brokenness that is? Comfortable enough with the things that are keeping us from being deeply in love and fully on mission with our God, forgetting that there's another story that tells another way of how things actually can be. We don't just have to cope. Just a few blocks away from Herod's palace, an angel showed up and announced another story that was unfolding in their midst. Gabriel told of a coming king, one who would never ask the people to just get comfortable with their hurts, but who instead was coming to totally liberate them from everything that held them down and kept them numb. The angel told a story of being absolutely free from the reign of Herod, free to do whatever it is that God actually dreams for us to be, for us to do. I wonder this morning, what is it for you? What's the main thing that you think is holding you back from Christ's biggest dreams coming to be in your life? What is it? And is that just the way it is? Remember, there's always another better story happening right now that says God sent a king to set you free from that. What's going on in the world? The UFO might ask. What's going on? Will you tell the story of all the things that are holding us back? Or will you tell the story of a Jesus who just keeps showing up and is actively setting you free, free to live? Which is your story this Christmas? You've got to choose a story. The Herod stories, they tell us that our hope is based on who fills the seats in the Oval Office. On November 7th, when the presidential election was finally called, some of us felt more peace than we felt in 4 years, and some more despair. And we're all in this room together. And don't get me wrong, I had a strong preference too. And I really think it matters who leads our country and how they lead it. And I do think that God actually cares about how we use our resources for the good of this world. I do. But I saw in my own heart, and I wonder if you saw in your hearts on November 7th, just how much we put our hopes in simple men and women who go from the world stage just as quickly as they come to it. Because the Herod stories tell us to put our attention and our hope there. They say, put all your focus on the positions of power and the people of influence. Fixate on them. Talk about them until you're blue in the face. Because how it goes with them, so it goes with you. So surrender your peace of mind to them. And if we think the story on the surface is the only story, we'll fall in the same trap again and again, relying on earthly leaders who don't even know we exist to tell our hearts how they should be doing. That's risky business. Who was the president when you were born? Some people don't even know. I have to think about it. And what are the 2 to 3 biggest things that they did to change the world for better or worse? Some of us can't even come up with a thing. And these are folks who reigned during our lifetimes. Get that. My friends, whoever makes the evening news tonight, they're probably not the ones in the biggest, best story unfolding in our midst. The biggest, best story lasts longer than just a few years or a couple terms. 2,000 years ago in Judea, there was one name spoken at every dinner party, Herod the Great. He was what they said was happening in the world. When Herod had a bad day, so they all had a bad day. Their peace totally intertwined with this unstable man's peace. Yet right under Herod's nose, in a moment of quiet prayer, Zechariah learned that the everlasting king was on his way. And 2,000 years after that baby was born, here we are in a pandemic, still coming together to get more and more of him. And right now, the only time Herod the Great's name is ever even mentioned is in telling the story of a better, truer king. The angel told of a God who just keeps moving forward with his plan, no matter who the world votes into or out of power. The most crooked, unethical, evil king sat on a throne, and just a few miles away, an angel showed up and said, guess whose plans aren't thwarted by this silly king at all? God's. God's plans for healing this world. Listen, Zechariah, they're still moving ahead. Zechariah, have hope, not about the man in the palace. Have hope about that baby that is about to be found in a manger. Because our God just keeps moving forward. Be hopeful in that. I wonder this Advent, where's your hope these days? If it's all resting in January 20th, or a coming vaccine, that's fine. But that's not enough. Because even after January 20th, and even after a vaccine, the world will only take 24 hours to give us something new to be afraid of. Our hope lies in the God who just keeps moving forward with healing the world, no matter what craziness we throw his way. That's the other story being told 2,000 years ago and today. There's hope that God is still moving. God is always up to something, and it's good. Which story are you giving your life to this Christmas? You'll know by where you're finding your hope. The Herod stories, they tell us to find truth in the headlines. Dangerous. I can just picture the Judean newspapers of the first century, can't you? Because the media hasn't changed at all. Pictures of smiling kids holding their free loaves of bread from good old King Herod. Oh, he just loves children. Look at him. Isn't that the same guy that killed all those babies? Shh, that doesn't make the headlines. A picture of King Herod looking so confident at one of his military parades. But isn't he super insecure? Shh, that doesn't make the headlines. What makes the headlines isn't what's true. If you came to church just to hear one thing today, that could be your thing. What makes the headlines isn't what is most true. What makes the headlines is whatever keeps us watching and fearing and submitting. The headlines, they keep us mad at who's against us, so we will keep returning to hear more from the people producing the headlines about why they're wrong and why we're right. The headlines enrage us to engage us. It's on purpose. They mess with our emotions to keep us glued to the people and the systems over us. When 9/11 happened, I'll never forget, my grandparents were staying with my family for a few days. Bad timing to have your grandparents over. And I remember my grandpa, he was in his late 80s, and he was watching one of those 24/7 news channels, and it was playing all day long, and he was hard of hearing. It was blaring every room of the house all day for like 4 straight days. And people saying in 1,000 different ways that America was under attack, and we didn't know where it was coming from or how it was going to get us, but we better be afraid. And boy, was it working. Multiple mosques in the Dallas area were vandalized over that weekend. Things were getting ugly. And my grandpa, I watched him before my eyes become so anxious. He couldn't sleep at night, afraid of these people that were out to get us. This was a man who had spent his whole life preaching behind a pulpit like this about the hope of Jesus. And over 4 days, he had let himself become consumed by the headlines. And it was killing him. He had forgotten that the Herod stories are never the only stories at play. There's always a deeper, truer, better story going on too. This Christmas, I wonder if anyone's feeling a little bit anxious. Try this. Maybe spend a little less time scrolling through the news feed or listening to the newscasters, and just a little more time sitting in the Word of God, listening to the voice of God. The deepest, best truths are rarely in the headlines. They're always in the places where God's people quiet down and lean in while God lets his heart be known. Did you know the morning after God entered our world, not a single newspaper reported it? The biggest news ever, God was born. No headline. You see, the greatest truths, the best truths, the truest truths, they rarely make the evening news. The greatest truth isn't in some event unfolding around us. It's in a person living among us. Jesus, God, really with us. You totally confused this year about how to discern truth. Where did the virus come from? A meat market? Bats? A lab? What happened in those elections? Were they good or were they bad? What's a political issue these days? What's a health issue? What is truth? Get this. The answer might not be in the headlines. And it's definitely not in the most enraging article you can find and share on Facebook. The truth is a person. And his name is Jesus. And when your heart feels unsettled, just turn off the news and turn to the Jesus story. The one that didn't get a headline until long after he was gone. Get to know his heart and you will know the truth. This Christmas, might we live fully in the story of truth as we draw near to Jesus, God with us. That is true. Finally, the Herod story tells us that peace comes by laying low and going undetected. Anyone who spoke up against Herod, they were done for. Even those who didn't speak up, but might speak up. So everyone learned how to just kind of be a wallflower in a broken world. Not speak out too loudly against injustices. Don't get too passionate about trying to go make things better around you. Just find your happy place. Worry about yourself. And let the powers that be worry about the rest. Sit back. Stay quiet. Play it safe. The angel told Zechariah another kind of story altogether. One that was calling him to stand up and participate in God moving among us. Zechariah, you're going to be the father of a man who's going to prepare the way for Jesus. Oh, and by the way, your son, he's going to be arrested and executed too. It's going to be rough. Good news, Zechariah. You get to play a real part in the story coming to be that's going to challenge the Herod story at every turn. Zechariah, you're getting called up to stand up and speak up and ruffle some feathers, participating in the story of a living God moving to bring this earth back to love and back to life again. This Christmas, we must choose our story. Are we going to choose the story that says just sit back and stay quiet? Or are we going to choose the story that calls us to stand up and participate in Jesus still saving and healing our world? Participate. To not choose is to choose the default. The Herod story of playing it safe by keeping it quiet. But we are called to a deeper, better story. The Jesus story that challenges the Herod story at every turn. The Herod story says, lay low, wait it out. The God story says, stand up and be an active part in Jesus coming to this earth right now to make all things right, to make all things new. This Christmas, might we choose our story and might we choose it wisely. What's actually happening in this world? I hope and I pray that your answer has less to do with presidents and stock markets and pandemics and a lot more to do with the God who is still among us, still advancing his kingdom, still revealing what's true, still calling us to join in and spread the good news that salvation has come. And it is coming. That's what's really happening around here. As you choose which story is worthy of your attention and your devotion this Christmas, might it be the Jesus story? That's the only one that's going to bring you real hope and peace and joy and love. That's the only one that's going to stick around for another 2,000 years and then some. The Jesus story, it's unfolding right before our eyes. We can choose to see it and celebrate it and tell about it and join it. This Christmas, my heart grieves. There's so many empty places. I know your online is not the same. My heart grieves this Christmas, but I choose to give my attention, my life to this Jesus story because God is still up to something and it's good. And it's new. I choose the Jesus story. How about you? How about you? Lord Jesus, gosh, the world tells us to buy the other story 1,000 times a day. Just settle for what is, push the pain down, and find comfort in the little pleasures. that sedate us. Be okay with not being fully alive and fully free. The world tells us to find our hope in seats of power. The world tells us to believe what we hear in the news, even when it makes us so anxious. The world tells us that this is all there is. And yet, oh God, you tell us that just a little deeper, there's something bigger coming to be. A God choosing to love us and save us and heal us and free us. Right here and right now, just as it started 2,000 years ago, you're doing it right here and right now. This Christmas, oh God, may our hearts turn to you, rest in you, find purpose and truth and freedom in you. May we hope in you, because hope in you does not disappoint. Thank you, oh God, for the bigger, deeper story. Make it our story more and more. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.